This first slide is not my message this morning. I just came across this week. I found it fascinating. If you look at what's going on here, the yellow area contains half of the world population. So Pakistan, India, China, and the area where Alex was at has half the world population. And a lot of that is a 1040 window. If you want study notes there, raise your hand as they come around. But it helps you to understand why this area of the world is so important. And you notice that doesn't even include the Middle East or Africa. This is just a very small portion of the world. So I just wanted to pass that on to you for your information. So this morning, the title of my message is In the Mire or on the Rock. And that picture there is a picture depicting Pilgrim's Progress character Christian in the Slough of Despond and helping him out. I'd like to look at a couple of passages here, Psalm 69, 1 through 3, and Psalm 40, 1 through 3. And I want us to just learn some lessons here this morning. I realize this morning that what I'm going to be sharing is heart sensitive. And so I want to try to be careful. I don't want to walk on anyone's heart. I want you to feel some of what I'm feeling in all of this, what God is feeling for us and about us. And I want us to understand something, that what we feel, what we go through in life is not unique to us. One of the lies the enemy tells us is that don't tell anybody what you're facing because you're weird. Nobody else deals with this. So don't expose yourself as being weird. But the way we get help is admit what's wrong and get help. We go to the doctor and we say, no, I feel fine. And we go home and we die the next day because something was wrong with us. It's our fault, right? We didn't ask for help. Well, this is one of those things. Oftentimes we face things in our hearts. And as we face those, we often struggle on alone. Some of us more than others. But I want us to understand, here's David. And David is struggling. In this case, it's due to enemies, but that can be about, he struggled with a lot of other things too. But I want us to look at what he says. He says, "Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink in the mire." So you're not on solid footing, so things are going downhill fast. I can't find a foothold. I'm in deep water and the floods overwhelm me. I'm exhausted from crying for help. My throat is parched. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me. Both of these are from the NLT. I kind of like the way that it's put there. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. So he gives just a little bit different twist to this one. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. Back in Psalm 69, he's crying desperately. to the point where his throat is parched. Now he's saying, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He's given me a new song to sing. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They'll put their trust in the Lord. And in case you think that somehow David was left in these situations, look at these two verses. Psalm 27, verse 5, in the time of trouble, he'll hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he'll hide me. He'll set me up upon a rock. Psalm 61, verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. All right, let's think about some questions here this morning. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or give an expression of it here, but how many of you this morning can say you can identify with David's expression of desperation? God, I'm up to my neck. And I'm standing on stuff that doesn't hold me. What am I going to do? Help me. I need help. I think most of us can. We've been through situations where that's reality. We live on a lake called Buck Lake. Leanna's not here this morning. She had surgery this week. But she calls it Muck Lake. And it's true. Our lake has about two or more feet of muck along the shore. So when we walk out in the water there by our dock, you may walk just fine, and you may all of a sudden sink up to your knees. You don't know. And if you're in water up to your neck and you're walking in a situation like that, and all of a sudden you go knee deep, that means your head is that far under the water, right? So there's a certain amount of urgency that's involved in all of this. Have you ever felt up to your neck in water and standing on mire? Sometimes we feel that way. Things come along. We'll look at a number of situations that may come and help us, or that may approach us, or we may have seen in the past. How'd you find help and hope in those situations? And how do you? And that's what we want to look at. What determines what we're standing on? Whether you're on the mire or on the rock, what determines that? What do you have to do to find that place where there's solid footing, solid ground? When God is silent, is he absent? We're going to look at the possibility of that mire being God not speaking. A place that seems treacherous, and a place that we don't like to be. There's several men of Scripture that I thought of. Obviously, one of them's Job. Job was one of those who struggled in the mire of loss and silence. Loss can include a lot of things. It did in Job's life. Job lost his possessions. He lost his family. He lost his position. He lost his health. There's not much more to lose in life other than your life. There's just not much more there. So Job was facing this mire, and it felt like to Job that he was up to his neck in this. Add to that this, Job felt like God was silent. He cried till his throat was parched, till he couldn't cry anymore, and there was no answer. And he struggled and he struggled, and his friends came and condemned him. Told him how wrong he was. Told him that if he'd just stand on the rock and face the truth and speak the truth about his life, everything would be fine. And Job continued to struggle in that mire. Maybe some of you can identify with Job today. Maybe you're facing something that you've struggled and struggled and struggled with. And it feels like God's not coming through. Like He's not giving an answer. Like He's not even talking about it with you. There's hope. We'll go on. There's Joseph. Joseph struggled in the mire of rejection. Joseph had a calling on his life. God had a work for him to do. And all of a sudden, his family rejects him. They want nothing to do with him. Sell him for the price of a slave. All of a sudden, he finds himself in a position where he's appreciated and accepted. And rejection comes again. Smacks him hard. And again. And he struggles in that mire of rejection. And you want to know a little bit about his struggle? Look up the names of his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and see what the meaning of them is, and you'll understand. We look at it from the other side, and we're going to look at that. But I want us to just sense what's going on. These people are real people. They face the same problems that we faced, and they found themselves struggling in that mire that was sucking them down. And one of the weird things about mire, I don't know how many of you have ever gotten something stuck to where it was down in the mud. It's one thing to just spin down in the mud a little bit, but when you get sunk way down in there, that mud gets a hold. It has a suction. And it takes a whole lot more to get it out than just a pull. And that's what happens in our lives. That rejection gets in there and starts working, and it starts pulling us down. It gets a suction that's hard, it's difficult to pull out of. There's Moses. He got pulled down in the mire of failure. He had heard a call from God. It had been on his life since he was born. And one day he goes out and tries to fulfill that call, and he fails. And he runs and runs and runs and runs into a desert and hides out there for 40 years. And God was quiet. And finally God comes and talks to him again. But here's Moses, wallowing in that failure. It's sucking him down. It's holding him down. And God comes and says, Moses, time to go. And Moses said, I can't. I can't. I can't. That failure was sucking hard on his life. There's Elijah. Oh, man. Here's a guy that stands up in front of all of Israel and tells them how great God is. He is just off the charts strong for God. He calls fire down from heaven. He calls rain down from heaven after blocking it for 3.5 years by his prayer. He calls rain down from heaven. He runs faster than the king's horses back to the city. And when he gets there, Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. And he sucks down into the mire of self-pity. And he's off out there by the brook. And he says, God, here I am. I'm all alone. Nobody cares about me. I've done all these things for you, God. And now they're going to kill me. Just kill me, God. You just kill me. So I don't have to deal with all this. He's sucked down, down, down into that self-pity. I think all of these are mires that you and I face in our lives. David was running from Saul. Again, here's a man that has a call of God, an anointing of God on his life. He knows that God has called him to be king. But he's out in the wilderness hiding in caves and dens. And Saul and his armies chasing after him. And David gets sucked down in the mire of helplessness and hopelessness. It tries hard to suck him under. And maybe that's when he cried out and said, God, I'm up to my neck. I'm tired of crying. When are you going to listen? When are you going to help? I don't know where that psalm was written or about what it was written. But it could very well apply there. We have Jeremiah. Jeremiah was literally in the mire. The mire of persecution. He spoke God's word and the people didn't like it. And the leaders put him in a dungeon and it said he sank in the mire. The mire of persecution. Not all. We hear a lot of stories about Christians facing persecution. Not all of them do so well. There are those who get sucked down in that mire of persecution and their head goes under the water and they give up. They quit. It happens. Now I want to go back and look at these guys again and want us to notice something. Every one of them had a rock that they stepped onto out of the mire. So Job is sucked down by this mire of loss and God's silence, but he has a rock. And this is, we often go to this scripture. Job had the rock of my Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the latter days he's going to stand on the earth and I'm going to see him with my own eyes. I know that. And Job stood on that rock. God raised him up out of that loss. Out of that silence, and God came and spoke to him, and God set him on that rock, and he stood there. Joseph had a rock. In all of his rejection, Joseph had this rock, and he told his brothers, you know what? You meant it for evil. You rejected me. But God meant it for good. God accepted me. And so he built his life on the rock that God had a plan and that it was going to work out for good. All of the rejection, all of the pain, all of the heartache that he faced wasn't the end. The story wasn't all written. And Joseph looked at all that he faced and he said, you know what? Told his brothers, you know what? I forgive you. I forgive you. Yeah? You hated me. Yeah? You tried to kill me. Yeah? You sold me for a slave. Yeah? I forgive you. Because you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. And God lifted Joseph onto that rock. And Joseph stood there. When the mire of rejection and the mire of rejection is a very deep and very strong mire, it has a lot of suction. It doesn't release very easy. And that mire of rejection could have sucked his life away. Useless and worthless and valueless in a strange land. But he found a rock to stand on. And that rock gave him something that he could live for and find value in. Moses stood on that rock that followed them. The New Testament talks about this. Jesus Christ was that rock that followed the children of Israel through the wilderness. And that's the rock that Moses stood on. So when Moses was tempted with this whole thing of just giving up, you know, not being the leader anymore, this whole thing of failure and all that went with it, when he was tempted with that, he stood on that rock of Christ. You know how I know that? Look at what Moses' response is. When God tells Moses, get out of the way, I'm done with this people, I'm going to get rid of them, and I'm going to make you the one that has all these blessings. What does Moses say? He said, no, God. No. Please, God, no. What's going to happen with your great name? Why did it matter to Moses about God's name? Because that was the rock he was standing on. Jesus Christ. That's why it mattered when Moses struck the rock twice rather than speaking to the rock. Because he was standing on that rock, and that rock was Christ. And that rock was where their water came from. And that rock is where our water and our food comes from as well. There's Elijah. Elijah didn't have quite as strong a rock, as big a rock. He didn't recognize it as well as the others, but he did have this rock that pursued him. And I like that so much. Because you notice what David said there in Psalm 40? He said, you took me, you brought me up out of the miry clay and set my feet on a rock. This isn't about pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. This is about a God who is pursuing us, and he finds us in the mire, in the miry clay, and he finds us there in water up to our neck. And he finds us with a parched throat and desperate. And he reaches down and he lifts us up and puts our feet on a rock. And that's what David recognized in his life. And that's what God did with Elijah. Elijah didn't recognize it quite so well. But God was at work doing that. And we may not always recognize it at the time it's happening. But oftentimes when we look back, we can see. Oh, yeah. That's what happened. God reached down and He brought me out of the miry clay and He set my feet on a rock. I think that's important for us to remember. David, if you look at what he says there in those Psalms and what we read in the other verses, David lived on the rock of praise. And so he'd write things like this: when you come before God, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. So David, in all the mire that tried to pull him down, the hopelessness, the helplessness, all the things that seemed to be against him, everything going wrong, nothing going right, David stood on the rock of praise. God had lifted him up there and put him on that rock. He brought me out of the miry clay and set my feet. So then he goes on and says, I'm going to give Him praise throughout the world so that other people can know about this rock, this place of safety and place of help. Jeremiah was able to rest on the rock of God's promises and God's salvation. So if you read Jeremiah and Lamentations, you see Jeremiah talking about all the things that were going to happen, and this is what he was put in prison for, in dungeon. And that's why he was down in the mire, because he had written what God told him was going to happen to the nation. But you know what Jeremiah rested on? And you read this in Jeremiah and Lamentations over and over. God is going to win. God is going to redeem. God is going to bring salvation. And Jeremiah rested on that. And so when they pulled him out and he rewrote the message and gave it again, he stood on that rock that God had brought him out, and literally God had brought him out of the miry clay and set his feet on a rock. Now, let's just think about some other things that we may face, mires that we may face. The mire of living for here and now. We talked about in our Sunday school lesson the fact that we as American Western people value security, comfort, safety very highly. Does this go together? Our connection to security, safety, and comfort, does it go together with a mire of living for here and now? Just a question we might ask ourselves. The mire of living for here and now sucks us down, and all of a sudden the water's up to our chin and we look around and we say, wait a minute, I'm about to leave the here and now. Then what? We're not really talking this morning about this, the whole thing of sin and living for self and all that before. Basically what I'm focusing on here is stuff that we as followers of Jesus face in our lives. And I think this is one of the mires that we tend to just kind of say, well, no, it's not there, as if ignoring it or denying it will make it go away. I think it's a mire that we do well to stop and think about. What about the mire of trying to impress God? How much do you think you can do to impress God? Do you think God's impressed that you came to church this morning? Do you think God's impressed that you might have witnessed to someone this week? You want to be careful with this one. This is a mire that sucks us down quicker and faster than we realize sometimes. We kind of get this thing where we think that somehow I need to impress God. You know what He's done? He's already given us everything. He's given us Christ and all that He offers. He's given us the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. He's given us His Word to show us the way. He's already given us it. He's given us all that we need for life and godliness. He's given it to us. So we're trying to impress Him so that He gives us something or does something for us. Wrong approach, sorry. The mire of comparison. I think this is a mire that we often fall into. Paul says this is foolish. To look at each other, compare ourselves among ourselves, isn't wise. It's a mire that sucks us down. Listen, our lesson today spoke right to this. It's not about what these people said or what these people said to Paul. It was what God had said to Paul. And Paul was going to do it no matter what anybody else thought or said or did. And so he wasn't out there comparing himself to Peter or James or any of the others. He was there listening to what God laid on his heart and said for him to do. Did he reject the others? No, they were important. He listened to what Peter suggested to him. But he wasn't building his life off of comparison to others. Be careful about sticking your children in that mire. Why can't you do like they do? Why can't you be what they are? Why don't? Just don't. Encourage them to stand on the rock of who God made them to be. The mire of uncertainty. Now here's one. This is one that we human beings do terrible with. How many of you ever been in this position? You go to the doctor and he takes this test and you get a result and he said, well, we're going to have to take some more tests. So you go get another test and you get a result and he said, oh, you got to take another test. And you're like, after a while, it's like, you know what? I don't care if it's this or if it's that. Just tell me what it is. I want to know. I don't like uncertainty. Uncertainty is a mire that sucks us down. We need a rock of certainty to stand on so that we can endure the uncertainty that comes to us. The other part of this is this whole thing of waiting. Human beings don't do good with not knowing and waiting. We don't do, none of us. Some of us do better than others, but none of us do good with those two things. They're a mire that starts sucking us down when we don't know and we have to wait. It wears on our soul. It wears on us. It's a mire that just keeps sucking, and we need to have a rock that we can stand on in those places. the mire of our own wisdom. Isaiah tells us something really important. He says, God's ways are so much higher than our ways, and God's thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And Solomon comes along and he writes in Proverbs, it's not in man to direct his steps. Man can't do it. We're not smart enough. We don't know enough. We don't see enough. We can't direct our steps. We need a rock to stand on, because our own wisdom is like a mire that just kind of slowly sucks us down. I'm sure many of you have gone through this, where you face something and you thought it through and you did the best you knew and you tried, and finally you said, God, this isn't working. You're going to have to show me. I need to know what you think. And all of a sudden, God reveals something to you and it's like, oh, I never thought of that. Where'd that come from? Wow. And you do that and it works. It's amazing. That's a rock that we can stand on. Now, I just want to encourage us this morning to stand on the rock. There are a lot of songs that talk about this. And one of them is the Kids Club song, I'm Going to Stand on the Rock. And there's enough Kids Club people here that can help us. If you don't know it, you'll learn it after a couple times over. Jay, can you lead it? Maybe. Beth can, right? You can lead. I'm Going to Stand on the Rock. Yeah, when we stand up here, I want to pray, and I want us to just stop and think about what's going on in my life. Do I feel like David in Psalm 69, where my throat's parched, I've cried and cried and cried for help, whatever the situation is, and there's nothing happening? Or do we feel like David in Psalm 40, where he says, I waited for the Lord, and he brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock. Now I'm in a good place, and I'm going to share what he's done for me. I just want to encourage you, if you feel like you're in that first place, like you're up to your chin and sinking, there's a place that's solid that God wants to take you to. It's a place of rest. It's a place of peace. It's a place of strength. It's a place of His presence. He said, in your tabernacle, you'll hide me. That's where God dwells. In His presence, that's where He wants to take us and hide us. I know how to start the song, but I don't know all of it, I don't think. But here's the words for it. Go ahead, yeah. Oh, I got to take mine off of there, yep. Sorry, I don't have the... Yeah. But I think we can do it without the words, so... Let's stand together for prayer. Father, we thank You. We thank You that You are able and that You are willing to reach down to pull us out of the miry clay and set our feet on a rock, establish our goings, and make us a song of praise to our God. You're able to do that. It's Your desire. It's Your purpose. It's Your plan for our lives. And I pray, Father, this morning that by your Spirit you just reveal to each of our hearts where we might be sinking in the mire, which mire we might be sinking in, and that we might look to you to put us on the rock, and be able, like men of old and men around us, to stand on the rock in the midst of all the things that would take us down and suck us in. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm gone. Let's stand. Let's do it three times over, okay? I'm gone.